This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shemuel Aleph, chapter 11. This chapter depicts the first military campaign led by King Shaul. Through this military action, he establishes himself as a worthy leader of the Jewish people. We saw in the previous chapter that there were some who doubted him. Now, for reasons that are unclear in the text, Nachash HaAmoni has laid siege to the Jews living in Yavesh Gilad. He refuses to accept any compromise or settlement with them. He is out for blood. He wants to attack them. He wants to subjugate them. The elders of Yavesh Gilad promise to respond in some way to Nachash within 7 days. They are holding out the hope that their fellow Jews will come to their aid before the deadline arrives and they won't have to face Nachash alone. When Shaul receives word of these developments, he's greatly troubled. He cuts up oxen and sends their parts throughout Israel, threatening to similarly kill the oxen of anyone who refuses to join him in the effort to defend Yavesh Gilad. The nation is unified around the mission, and 330,000 troops report for battle. Shaul divides them into 3 companies and easily defeats the men of Nachash. When he returns home, he's now a decorated general. Everybody respects him. He has earned their confidence and their trust. His supporters now want to punish the naysayers who had derided and belittled him, as we saw in the previous chapter, when he was first appointed king. Shaul refuses to accept this course of action. He doesn't want to pursue vengeance and retribution when the people should really be focusing on celebration of the salvation that Hashem has provided for them. One of the important points that's really prominent in the story is the harmonious partnership between Shaul and Shemuel. We know that one of the issues with the appointment of a king, the selection of a king, is the worry that he will be a vigilante, or he'll become ambitious. He'll pursue his own dreams and his own plans, his own agenda, and he won't listen to the voice of Hashem and listen to the voice of the prophet. Here we see that Shemuel and Shaul are working together beautifully. When Shaul summons the people to go to war, he tells them to follow him and Shemuel into war. Even though Shemuel is not a general, he's not a king, nonetheless, he realizes that it's a joint effort between the two of them. They both field questions and complaints from the people. They both deliver instructions to the people. There's also an emphasis on joy here, the happiness experienced by the citizens of Yavesh Gilad when they hear that their brethren are going to support them, and the happiness experienced by the Jewish people now that they realize that they have a competent and trustworthy king leading them. The parallels between this story and that of Pilegesh B'Giv'ah are quite striking. The concubine in Giv'ah was a story in which someone was inspired with passion to respond and to move others to respond to a terrible injustice. That was the husband of the concubine who was killed. Here we have Shaul in the same position. He's inspired when he hears about the story, and he wants to inspire others to follow him in acting to defend the people of Yavesh Gilad. In both stories, the story of the concubine in Giv'ah and the story here, the nation is rallied around a cause by having cut up flesh circulated to the tribes. In the first story, in the story of the concubine, it's the flesh of the concubine. Here, it's the flesh of the oxen. In both cases, the resulting unity of purpose in Israel is emphasized. And in both cases, both Yavesh Gilad and the tribe of Binyamin play prominent roles. In this last aspect, Yavesh Gilad and Binyamin, there is some complication and some irony. In the story of the concubine at Giv'ah, the men of Yavesh Gilad were the only people who opted out of the war effort. They didn't want to join their fellow tribes in attacking and punishing the tribe of Binyamin for supporting the immoral behavior that had taken place. In fact, the males of Yavesh Gilad are eventually killed and their women taken as wives for the survivors of the tribe of Binyamin. The reason was because the rest of the tribes had sworn, that they would not give their daughters in marriage to anybody from the tribe of Binyamin. This would have completely eliminated the tribe of Binyamin from the midst of Israel. So they had to find a way to provide women for the tribe of Binyamin, and they did that by killing Yavesh Gilad, killing the men of Yavesh Gilad who had not joined them on the battlefield against Binyamin. Now, one might have thought that the tribes of Israel would be reticent, would be resistant to coming to the aid of the people of Yavesh Gilad, when, after all, in previous campaigns, the people of Yavesh Gilad did not support them, such as in the campaign against Binyamin. However, we are all pleasantly surprised, especially the people of Yavesh Gilad, that in fact the Jewish people come through for them. The people of Yavesh Gilad are happy to see that there was no reason to be unsure about the support of the Jewish people for the people of Yavesh Gilad. The fact that the Jewish people come through for the people of Yavesh Gilad shows us that whatever rifts existed between Yavesh Gilad and the remaining tribes have now healed, and that they can allow bygones to be bygones. They can put their somewhat complicated past behind them. We can also suppose that there might be a rift between Yavesh Gilad and Binyamin. After all, the tribe of Binyamin was indirectly responsible for the massacre of Yavesh Gilad if it hadn't been for the immorality of the tribe of Binyamin and the civil war that came as a result of that. Yavesh Gilad never would have been called up to the war, never would have been indicted and condemned for not joining the war, and therefore wouldn't have had all of their males killed in an effort to provide wives for the tribe of Binyamin. So the men of Yavesh Gilad probably have some sore feelings towards the people of Binyamin. So with that being the case, it's very nice, or it's very encouraging, that a king descended from Binyamin is the one who is leading the campaign to defend and protect the people of Yavesh Gilad, namely Shaul. Shaul is there protecting Yavesh Gilad, and in that way healing whatever rifts there are between Binyamin and Yavesh Gilad. Finally, the very fact that the chosen king is a member of the tribe of Binyamin. Consider that the tribe of Binyamin was vilified, was marginalized, was excluded, was almost eliminated from the midst of Israel as a result of the story of the Pilegish B'Giv'ah, the concubine at Giv'ah. And now from that very tribe emerges the first king of Israel, the first monarch. That has tremendous symbolic significance. That means that the deep political, emotional, and spiritual wounds of the past have been laid to rest, have been healed, and that the nation of Israel has officially become one again. It's really a very encouraging turnaround. We see that some of the leftover baggage, some of the untied knots of the stories of the Book of Shofatim are being tied together. Some of the issues that remain to be settled in the Book of Shofatim within tribes, within cities, are now finally being resolved as a new era of peace, tranquility, and unity begins to emerge.